ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to welcome all the devotees and the guests this evening for this Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are discussing Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 entitled Karma Yoga, text number 11 and 12. This is text 11, so I'll just recite.
देवान् भावयतान् यतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु या परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेया परम् अवाप्स्यथ।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifice, will also please you, and thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Purport. The demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. The supply of air, light, water, and all other benedictions for maintaining the body and soul of every living entity is entrusted to the demigods, who are innumerable assistants in different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their pleasures and displeasures are dependent on the performance of yajna by the human being. Some of the yajnas are meant to satisfy particular demigods, but even in so doing, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all yajnas as the chief beneficiary. It is stated also in the Gita that Krishna himself is the benefactor of all kinds of yajnas, bhoktaram yajna tapsasam. Therefore, ultimate satisfaction of the yajnapati is the chief purpose of all the yajnas. When these yajnas are perfectly performed, naturally all the demigods in charge of the different departments of supply are pleased, and there is no scarcity in the supply of natural products. Performance of yajna has many side benefits, ultimately leading to liberation from material bondage. By performance of yajnas, all the activities become purified, as it is stated in the Vedas, Ahara Shuddho Sattva Shuddhe, Sattva Shuddho Dhruva Smriti, Smriti Labhe Sarva Granthinam Vipramokshaha. By performance of yajnas, one's eatables become sanctified. By eating sanctified foodstuff, one's existence become purified. By purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified. And when memory is sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation. And all these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness, the great necessity of present day society. So seeking the blessings of all the assembled devotees, we will discuss something from the third chapter of the Gita, text number 11 and 12. So as we are discussing the series of verses from this third chapter of the Gita, which is called the Karma Yoga, wherein Arjuna, as we saw in the beginning of the third chapter, he asked the question that which is better, is renunciation of work or meditation, renunciation of work or work in Krishna consciousness, which is better. And in the next verses, we see how Krishna is answering about how Nishkama Karma Yoga or Karma Yoga is better than renouncing at prematurely. And now in this particular section of verses, after describing that, Krishna is giving the principle of karmakanda, and specifically in these two verses, very important concept of demigod versus the Supreme Lord, or God versus demigod is described. So very, very like an important concept which we have to very, very clearly understand, because in India we see so many people worshipping demigods with not having a clear understanding of their proper positions. So Srila Prabhupada in these purports has given us a very, very wonderful and a clear picture of the position of demigods and how one should worship or respect the demigods. Of course, here Krishna is giving in the translation that the demigods, being pleased by the sacrifice, will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains the position of the demigods, who these demigods are. This question arises in minds of all of us before we came to Krishna consciousness, that we see so many 33 crore Devi Devtagan. We have all heard in our country, in our place, that 33 crore Devta hai. We have seen so many Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, then Durga, Kali, Bhairav, so many demigods. So Prabhupada is putting here things in perspective. He's giving that true understanding that these demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. A simple example that Srila Prabhupada gives is like a king. He has an administration, a council, who to govern or to control the laws, to execute his will. So similarly, Krishna or God, who is the supreme controller, has various demigods who are in charge of different departments, like the sun god, the Vayu, the in charge of the air department, or like we have the electricity department, so we have water department, Varunadev, different departments as we have in the government. Similarly, to manage this universal affairs of this cosmos, Krishna or God has appointed these demigods. And here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Lord Vishnu, if the pleasures and displeasures of these demigods are dependent on the performance of the yajna by the human beings, and Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all the yajnas as chief beneficiary. So this is a very important understanding, as Srila Prabhupada is quoting from the 5th chapter of the Gita, the last verse, Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam, that ultimately the worship of these demigods, even if we do, the ultimate beneficiary is Krishna. He is Yajna Bhuk. He is the one who is ultimately being worshipped, maybe indirectly, as Krishna further on in the further chapters, in the 7th chapter where he explains of demigod worship further on, he explains that it is actually those who are, whose intelligence has been stolen, or those who are less intelligent, who do not understand this arrangement of the Supreme Lord, this setup of God and demigods and their proper perspective, proper position, they indirectly worship the demigods, not thinking themselves, thinking these demigods as God, as the supreme controller. So they miss this point. So we as devotees also worship and respect the demigods, but with an understanding that they are the servants of God. That is the true understanding. It's like if you know the king, or you worship the king, or you have direct relationship to the king, then you do not go to its ministers. And these demigods, being the true devotees, they are also very, very advanced devotees. The demigods, Krishna or God, he chooses the best people, the good people who are qualified, like a government. He won't choose anyone who is not qualified. The government chooses those who are qualified persons to rule its country. Similarly, God also gets the good people, the demigods, who are qualified to run these affairs. So these people are appointed to take care of these different departments. So these are also So therefore, as devotees, we respect them because they are very, very advanced people. But with the understanding that they are Krishna's or God's servant. So this has to be very, very clearly understood. Otherwise, many times in India, people think that there are so many gods or all are equally God. And many times people are afraid that if I worship this God, I should worship all. Many times people in their homes, they have all Lord Shiva, Ganesh, all with that understanding that if I do not worship one of them, they will get angry. They are all very, very exalted personalities, these demigods. And they are being the true servants of God. So when they see that we are worshipping God, they are happy actually. They are pleased that you are worshipping my master. So that is the position of the demigods. That is what Srila Prabhupada is establishing in the text 11. And the next, and of course another point which Srila Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, is that by performance of yajnas, all the activities becomes purified. And then he quotes from the Vedas, Ahara Shuddho, Satya Shuddho, Satya Shuddho, Dhruva Smriti. That means, by performance of one yajna, one's eatables becomes purified. Of course, this is a subject matter of discussion in the next class when we discuss the text 13. How by offering food to the Supreme Lord, by offering food in sacrifice and accepting those remnants, which is known as prasad or the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one's intelligence gets purified. That is the subject matter of discussion for the next session. Of course, many of us have experience of this, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, that many of us came through this process of Krishna consciousness just by honoring prasad. Many times we go to the colleges and do programs, and then students just come for honoring prasad. But that prasad, because that has been accepted by the Supreme Lord, that has the purifying, because that is the yajna prasad. When we eat that food, our consciousness is purified. And with that conscious, purified consciousness, we can understand the Krishna conscious philosophy. Because this philosophy is not something academic study of the laws. This is a very, very subtle science which depends upon the state of the individual in which he is. So by honoring Krishna's prasad, one gets purified. By accepting the yajna's remnants, one gets purified, and then gradually one can understand this philosophy. So very, very subtle science. Gradually, the more we are purified, the more we understand this science. We can see this science of Bhagavad Gita. People from like millenniums have been understanding, trying to understand, study this scripture. And as devotees, as practicing sadhakas, we also have experience that we read Gita once, we read again, we get newer and newer and deeper insights, depending upon our level of purification. So that is this secret science of Bhagavad Gita. By honoring prasad, one gets purified. So now, I'll just read the translation of the next verse, which is in continuation of the same theme of worshipping the demigods and understanding their position in relationship to the Supreme. Text 12. Ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyante yajna bhavita ter dattan apradha yebhyo yobhunte stena evasa. In charge of the various necessities of the life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, will supply all the necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Purport. The demigods are authorized supply agents on behalf of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods. But all are ultimately offered to the personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. So that means one who cannot understand that the personality of Godhead, who the personality of Godhead is, the sacrifice for the demigods is recommended. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and this Krishna conscious movement, wherein very simply it is explained the position of the demigods and the Supreme Lord. Therefore, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have this option of worshipping the Supreme Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada explains, according to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yajñas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is on the same basis, namely according to the different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship demigod Kali, the ghastly form of material nature, and before the goddess of this goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. So Kali worship is for those who are meat eaters. But for those who are in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. Jai Shri Radha Gopina Dev Ki Jai. But for those in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Vishnu is recommended. But ultimately all the yajñas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yajñas known as Pancha Mahayajna are necessary. This is also important that ultimately all the yajñas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. So that is Krishna's amazing arrangement, that if one worships the demigods within the purview of the Vedic scriptures, then gradually one is purified and comes to the real understanding who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. That is, because if we are part of the Krishna's process, this is as the series of verses we were reading, the text 10, which is also part of the same series, where in the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the material creation by the Lord of creatures is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home. So this is the purpose of the creation, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the text 10. So similarly, within that process which Krishna has given for each one of us to come back home to Godhead, depending upon different levels of advancement or understanding of the individuals, Krishna has given various paths, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that different, depending upon the modes, like for those who are meat eaters or who are in the darkest modes of ignorance, they will not be able to appreciate or understand the position of Vishnu and worship of Lord Vishnu directly. For them, therefore, the worship of Kali is recommended. So that by gradually worshipping Kali and offering meat, that habit of sacrifice, that you have to sacrifice something, that nature is induced. And then gradually by accepting the remnants, one gets purified. And then with that purified intelligence, one is eligible to understand that ultimately the true benefactor or the ultimate benefactor of all these sacrifices is Lord Vishnu. And then when one understands this, then one says that, okay, now I can worship Vishnu directly. So in this way, one should know, however, that all the necessities of life that the human society requires are supplied by the demigods. So this is the next theme which Srila Prabhupada takes. No one can manufacture anything. Take, for example, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, sugar, etc. for the persons in the mode of goodness, and also eatables for non-vegetarians, like the meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. Then again, Prabhupada comments, take for example heat, light, water, air, etc., which are also the necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by human society. So in all respects, we are all dependent upon the Supreme Lord, who is acting through His agents. That is very essential. We have to admit this fact. Without the Supreme Lord, there cannot be There can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, breeze, etc., without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on the supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essential elements, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from material struggle for existence. This is Srila Prabhupada's beauty. With all these verses, Srila Prabhupada is giving the true insight or giving the true design or plan of the Supreme Lord. That is Krishna's pure devotees. The devotees of the Lord, they have Krishna in their heart. So they know the will or desires of the Supreme Lord. Many times people ask, hey, how can I understand? We say that we should follow the will of the Lord. How can I know the will of the Lord? We can understand the will of the Supreme Lord through His representatives or through agents who love the God. Like for a king, his close counsel or minister, they will know what the king's future plans are or what he's going to plan, how he's going to rule out his kingdom. So herein also Srila Prabhupada, who are the empowered representatives of the Supreme Lord, he knows what the design or purpose of the Supreme Lord is. And this is one way, and other way is through the scriptures, where Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita is explaining herein that by sacrificing, performing Vedic sacrifices, one can be peaceful and happy and ultimately achieve liberation. And then Srila Prabhupada continues, the aim of life is attained by performance of yajñas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves. And therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajna. And then Prabhupada very beautifully concludes, Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of the yajna, namely the Sankirtan yajna, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. That is how Srila Prabhupada concludes this purport, the conclusion of this section in this verse, particular verse. That ultimate sacrifice which we are talking about, Srila Prabhupada explains, if we forget the purpose of human life and just get entangled in asking the demigods or performing sacrifices to get some necessities of life, then we are missing the whole purpose behind the sacrifice system. We see many times, especially in India, we see people go to the demigods and then ask for various benedictions, that let me have a nice son, let me have some nice wealth, or let me get a good wife or husband. So many things people keep on asking. But then Srila Prabhupada herein is, and we perform various austerities or tapasyas. And it's like, we generally give that example, that many times when you go to a restaurant and then you have a call bell, you call the waiter and give a list, a menu to him, and I want dosa, pizza, whatever you want. So it's like ordering the Supreme Lord or ordering the representatives of the Lord that give me this, give me this, give me this. But the true purpose which is behind the worship of the demigods or the sacrifices, as Prabhupada is explaining, is that to be grateful and develop that habit of sacrifice and realize that the human life is not meant for simply sense gratification. And of course, as we will see, Krishna in the Gita further on in chapters where he explains of demigod worship, he explains that even the results which are achieved by the worship of demigods is temporary. That is another aspect, of course. And then Srila Prabhupada is explaining that if we are engaged in these order supply systems, treating the God as our servant, then what happens? It's like acting as a thief. We are getting all these facilities, the air to breathe, the sunlight, the vegetables, the foodstuff, the raw materials for the industries. It's all this is given by the Supreme Lord. That is His mercy that He is supplying all this. But then if we accept them and do not even say thank you, even a word of gratitude, it's like a thief who is utilizing the government's property but not expressing his gratitude or not paying the taxes. So then the result will be we have to pay a price for that. You do not pay your electricity bill for a month, they send a warning. So Krishna also sends a warning through His representatives, through different difficulties which we face in life. And then if you didn't pay another month, and then your electricity is cut off. So similarly, Krishna's department heads, the demigods, they are also in charge of these demigods. They also, through the Krishna, through the scriptures, gives us warning. His representatives come with messages of God. They also keep on giving us warning that if we do not perform sacrifice or do not try to satisfy the Supreme Lord, then miseries, difficulties will be coming in our lives. So these messages or bills are given to us. And then Srila Prabhupada, in the end of this purport, concludes that the easiest process, of course, we see in all these purports in this section of demigod worship, Srila Prabhupada is concluding with the same message, that is Srila Prabhupada or pure devotee's mercy. He enlightens and he is giving that the easiest performance of yajna in this age is Sankirtan Yajna. Just the chanting of the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This worship of the demigods or performance of big sacrifices is, as we know, there are different ages, there are different processes, like Satyuga, the process of meditation, which would go on for millions of years. People would perform tapasya for lakhs of years. And then Treta Yuga came, or Dwapar Yuga, the process of sacrifices, right? Dwapar Yuga, the performance of huge sacrifices were performed for different demigods. And these demigods would personally descend and accept their offerings. And for all these sacrifices, you need elaborate arrangements and you need pure ingredients which are not to be found in this age. And there were very, very qualified brahmanas were required, like the four types of brahmanas, Hota, Udgatu, Udaru, Brahma, like different types of brahmanas were required which would perform different responsibilities. And then in Treta Yuga, the performance of deity worship, establishing huge temples, worshipping their lordships with different upcharas, was recommended for self-realization. But for this age of Kali Yuga, the easiest process, the same benefit which was achieved by all these, or even higher benefits, are achieved simply by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, who gave this process of Sankirtan Yajna, as Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Yajanti hi Sumedasa, that those who are intelligent will understand and accept this process of chanting of the names of God, the Sankirtan Yajna, as their life and soul. And they will perform this sacrifice. The sacrifice, the chanting of the names of God, is a prayer offering gratitude to the Supreme Lord for all that He has given us and requesting for His service. So that is the supreme sacrifice recommended for this age. Krishna, that is the Lord's merciful nature, that He sends His representatives, gives the scriptures and performs various leelas or pastimes to give various teachings or messages to give us that understanding which we are discussing about His position, the position of the demigods, and how by serving the Supreme Lord there is no need separately to serve the demigods or worship the demigods. Simply worshipping Krishna or God is enough. And these representatives who are the servants, they are also very happy and pleased. And we see one of the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, of lifting Govardhan Hill. We have heard this pastime many times, but just to conclude this session on demigod worship, it's a beautiful pastime which comes in the Krishna book. Lifting of the Govardhan Hill. So this pastime comes when Krishna is there in Vrindavan and he sees, he's performing this wonderful leelas with his cowherd friends playing, and then he sees one day that Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai and all others in the family and all the elderly members of Vrindavan, they're engaged in some preparation for some sacrifice. They're like working hard, making some arrangement, cooking different bhoga items and making all those preparations for the inviting the brahmanas and making elaborate arrangements for a fire sacrifice. So then Krishna, who wants to establish that only worshipping the Supreme Lord is enough, he goes to Nanda Maharaj and asks him, "Hey Baba, what is this sacrifice which you are performing? Is this a Vedic sacrifice? Or is it traditional sacrifice? Or what are you doing actually?" So Nanda Maharaj, this most loving father, he takes Krishna, puts him on his lap and he's smiling and taking the darshan of his beautiful face. And then he speaks that, "Krishna, my dear son, we are seeing this sacrifice which you are performing is basically a traditional sacrifice. It's not something mentioned in the Vedas. But you see, Krishna, we are taking care, we are the Vaishyas, so we take care of the cows and our agriculture. And for that agriculture, we need rains. And rains are controlled by the demigod Indra. So therefore, we are performing this sacrifice to worship Indra." So Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord, who wants to establish his supremacy, he says, and it's, of course, Krishna herein speaks karma mimamsa philosophy, that why there is a need to worship the demigod. Of course, what we are reading in the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna is recommending that one should worship or sacrifice, perform sacrifice to please the demigods. But herein Krishna, in his beautiful form as a child, he is speaking just the opposite. He is saying, why there is a need to worship the demigod Indra? What is this rain? Is it? It's not just because it's, we worship Indra, it's raining. You see on the mountains, on the oceans, where nobody is worshipping Indra, it's raining. So, why there is a need? And this rain, monsoon season, when it comes, it brings distress to people. So, how is that? It is the result of someone who is pleased by sacrifice, who sends these rains. Of course, Brajavasis, they have love for Krishna. Their only object or purpose in life is to please Krishna. So whether they understand, of course, Nanda Maharaj replies, but their only objective is to satisfy Krishna or please Krishna. That he is the center of their activities. That is Vrindavan. So then, of course, Nanda Maharaj and all the elderly cohort, then they agree. Of course, Nanda Maharaj proposes that we will do a sacrifice. Of course, Krishna says that we are Vaishyas and so we should worship actually Giri Govardhan, because it is Govardhan Hill which provides crystal clear waters, which provides beautiful caves for us to play, which provides nice soft grass for my cows to graze upon and the nice pasturing grounds. So we should worship Giriraj instead of Indra with the same arrangements. Nanda Maharaj says, okay, we will perform a separate sacrifice for Sri Giriraj, but let us now worship Indra, which is a traditional which we have been doing since years, so let us not stop this. But then Krishna wanted to make it a point that no, worshipping Krishna is enough. And then Nanda Maharaj agrees that Krishna says that, okay, you must use this sacrifice arrangements for worshipping Giriraj. And then Krishna in great elaboration explains how one should worship Giriraj. Krishna tells his father that, please have faith in my word, and for that, if you have faith in my words, then all the dangers will be removed. Of course, Brajabasis, they were ready for anything for pleasing Krishna. They knew that this will make Indra angry. Of course, we have to understand before we go further on that Indra is a devotee of the Supreme Lord. He is happy to see Krishna being worshipped. But sometimes, there also, Krishna, to teach us a lesson, uses his great devotees to teach us a lesson. And sometimes it's the pride or of having a power overcomes. So both reasons. And then Krishna describes that you should make a huge annakoot, a huge offering of different bhogas, a mountain of rice on top with lot of ghee and different vegetables in different clay pots and lakes of sweet rice and pots of vegetables and dals and samosas and kachoris and all those preparations. Krishna elaborately explains that you should cook a huge feast, invite all the brahmanas and feed them sumptuously until they laugh, and then feed all the cowherd people and invite all the chandalas and everyone's and even the dogs. Serve them all sumptuous prasad. And then Krishna says, they perform the Vedic sacrifices, the fire sacrifice. And in this way, he describes, and Nanda Maharaj accordingly begins to worship Shri Giriraj. They build a huge annakoot, brings all the arrangements, all the paraphernalia, all the bhoga, offer the padya, and then begins to worship. And they invite all the brahmanas. The musicians are there playing the flutes, the kettle drums, the bhedis. In this way, very happily, everyone is very beautifully dressed. A beautiful festival of worshipping Shri Giriraj is being celebrated. We celebrate that festival here in that tradition every year in temple. It's a beautiful festival of bhogal. And then all the Brajabasis are there, very beautifully decorated. The cows are also decorated with golden ornaments. That was the opulence of Brajbhumi. And then they were adorned with gold-plated horns, the cows. And so in this way, it was a beautiful festival environment. And then in this way, they worship Giriraj, offer bhoga. And then Krishna assumed a huge, unprecedented form and stands on Shri Giriraj. So Giriraj personified appeared to accept the offerings of the Vrajabasis. So Krishna, who is also standing as a small boy, and the Vrajabasis, they offer obeisances. Krishna says, Namo, Namo. So all the Vrajabasis offer obeisances to that beautiful form. And then Krishna tells, see Nanda Maharaj, see Yashoda Mai, this Giriraj has been pleased by our offerings and he has accepted our offerings and he has appeared in his personal form to accept your offerings. So in this way, Giriraj accepts all the offerings, and then the whole prasad was being served to all the brahmanas, the Brajapasis, the chandalas, everyone in the society. Everyone was completely satisfy. And then Krishna decides and tells that to complete this, we have to perform the Govardhan Parikrama. The first Parikrama of Govardhan was performed by Krishna's direction. And then a beautiful description of the Govardhan Parikrama is given, how first the kettle drums, the bhedis, all these musicians go, and then behind them all the elderly Brajabasis with the cows, and behind them on the carts Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, Rohini Devi with Krishna and Balaram on beautiful decorated carts, and then behind them another crew of singers playing flutes. So beautiful procession, very nicely decorated chariots, And in this way, the whole procession of Giriraj Parikrama is performed. So while all this is going on, huge festival, devotees having a nice time, the demigod Indra, he develops a headache due to being ignored and forgotten by the Brajabasis. So that is, so Indra, he is furious, and then he calls that, "I will take revenge." He says that the intelligence of these Brajabasis have been stolen. It's like their intelligence has been like the cows which they graze. They don't understand anything. They are just by this, they have come under the words of this foolish child, does not recognize this master. That's the nature of pride. One may see God, but one will not be able to see. He's seeing his own master, but he does not recognize. And then Indra sends the Samavartaka clouds, which are the clouds of devastation, to inundate the whole of Brajabhumi. These clouds come and pour incessant rains for days. It comes with pillars, such torrents of rain and storm and winds and thunderbolts and lightning. And Indra himself comes on his Airavat to encourage the Samartaka clouds with his thunderbolts. And in Vrindavan, it's complete darkness. And all the Brajabasis and the cows and the bulls are suffering because of the excessive rains. They approach Krishna. That is, the devotee's shelter in all circumstances is Krishna. It's not that they went and said, "Hey, you said us to stop. Because of you, we are suffering." No, they said, "We need shelter, Krishna." So Krishna, who always protects his devotees, he, in his compassionate voice, Krishna consoles his family and friends. "Do not be afraid. Actually, this trouble is as significant as a hunger pain is to one who has just consumed a sumptuous feast. Anyone practicing devotional service can easily remove all anarthas. The Kinnaras and the demigods glorify this fact. For your benefit, I will now enact a special pastime to destroy Indra's mountain pride." So Krishna, this reassuring words satisfy all the Vrajavasis. And in the Krishna, without even tightening his cloth, he just showing complete indifference to Indra, goes and lifts Sri Giriraj on his left hand with a small finger of his left hand. This is the beautiful darshan of Sri Gopalji. We see Krishna lifting Govardhan. Of course, there are beautiful descriptions of how Krishna lifts Sri Giriraj and what all happened on Giriraj. And then there was a beautiful valley beneath Giriraj where all the Brajabasis take shelter of. And then there are wonderful descriptions of what happens. Krishna lifted Giriraj for 7 days and 7 nights, and all the Brajabasis with all their paraphernalia, cows, bulls and calves, completely happy, peaceful, satisfied, taking the beautiful darshan of Krishna. This was a beautiful festival for their eyes to see Krishna standing 7 days and 7 nights. So they could beautifully enjoy this festival. So everyone was very ecstatic and happy. So in this way, they performed this wonderful leela for 7 days and 7 nights. And then Indra, finally, after trying hard, understands that he has done a big mistake. And then he is so fearful that he's thinking, "How can I approach?" He understands that this 7-year-old boy, Krishna, is my master. So he then comes down with his, he brings Surabhi, who is the Kamadhenu cow of the demigods. He brings her along with him and begs forgiveness from Krishna. And in this way, this pastime concludes with Krishna giving forgiveness to Indra. And of course, Indra performs the elaborate worship and performs the abhishek and coronates Krishna as Govinda, the caretaker of cows. So basically this pastime which Krishna enacts is to give pleasure to his Brajavasis. For 7 days and 7 nights they have this beautiful festival within the Giriraj. But another point which Krishna wants to make is that if you worship Krishna, there is no need to worship demigods. Because demigods are the servants of the Supreme Lord and they are completely happy and satisfied in seeing their master being worshipped. So this is the sum and substance of this theme of verses which we are reading, where Srila Prabhupada is explaining the true position, this is the summary, true position of the demigods versus the Supreme Lord. The demigods are the servant administrators on behalf of the Supreme Lord to govern the entire cosmos. And the sacrifices meant for demigods are ultimately going to Krishna. Therefore, the best is to worship the Supreme Lord directly for all material gains or spiritual gains, as Srimad Bhagavatam also explained the second canto. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama taradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajante purushaha param. At akama sarva kama, if you have all desires of no desires, worship the Supreme Lord who is the most merciful Lord. And then by worshipping the Supreme Lord, as Prabhupada concludes the purport, that in this age, worshipping the Supreme Lord through the sacrifice of the chanting of the names of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, is the most sublime and easiest process. And by performing of this sacrifice, we can make our life sublime and happy and blissful. Thank you very much. Grantraj Shri Bhagavad Gita ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai. If there is just one question, if somebody has, you can take one question. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Yes, thank you for a wonderful lecture. Prabhuji, actually I was just wondering that we are not supposed to worship any demigod. Alone worshipping Krishna is enough. I was wondering that the people who worship the manifestations of Krishna, like you can say Buddha, and in Jainism there is Advaita, something like that, Rishabh Bhagwan. And it's given in Bhagavatam that those are the manifestation of Krishna. So are we supposed to say, in case if we fall, take birth in Jainism or any religion, are we supposed to, once come in Krishna consciousness, supposed to follow that? And if we do, then what happens? Do we go to that loka?
Basically, each incarnation has a particular purpose why they come. So this incarnation Buddha, he came for a specific purpose. And he, that purpose which we know was at that time a rampant meat eating was going on the pretext of the Vedas. So therefore, to move the people away from that, he himself rejected the Vedas. So therefore, the Vedas themselves or the scriptures themselves speak that that incarnation was for a particular purpose and it fulfilled that purpose. So we do not in that sense worship our Buddha, because Buddha himself rejected the Vedas. It was for a particular purpose that it came and it fulfilled that. And your regards to other Vishnu forms which are mentioned in the scriptures, can be, or we worship all those forms. Including?
Rishabh Bhagwan, which is given in Bhagavatam.
Yeah, if you follow from the teachings which Rishabh Dev gives in Srimad Bhagavatam, you can accept the teachings which are given in Srimad Bhagavatam by Rishabh Dev. No. We don't have to imitate, we just have to follow the teachings which are given by him. Rishabh Dev's teachings are there in Srimad Bhagavatam.
They are in the 7th canto.
5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the teachings of Rishabh Dev, so which are there, so we can follow these teachings.
think that.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.